Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's good to be with you back here in studio, and I'm excited to delve into this next section in Galatians.
It's really very interesting. We've been talking about the flesh and the spirit, and what it means to walk in the spirit, and now we have a passage that I think will be very interesting to our listeners because they've probably heard it if they've been a Christian very long.
Right.
And you don't always get the same answer about this verse.
Yeah, there's some. This is disputed, isn't it?
People have their own ideas. In fact, one of our commentators that we've been reading had what we think is wrong idea about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now I know we left off last time in verse 23, and I'll just read that, and then I'll keep reading into verses 24.
Okay.
Paul had finished talking about some of the fruit of the Spirit, which was gentleness, self-control, and he said, against such things there is no law. So that's how he concluded the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Now in verse 24, he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, I know, Bob, the debate here is over this term, have crucified, because back in Galatians 2:20, we know that the being crucified with Christ, Paul says, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me.
Yeah.
And that, back in Galatians 2:20, we had a perfect passive verb, meaning it was obvious that God was the agent who had done that.
Exactly.
But explain for the listener now what the issue here is that's being debated. This is an aorist active.
Yeah, those who belong to Christ have crucified, okay? And here we have an aorist active indicative.
Yeah.
Aorist would be at a point of time, probably in the past.
Right.
Okay, so why the change from the passive to the active is what some people discuss.
Right? Yep.
But first of all, we need to point out that this is still a past thing that happened.
Exactly.
And I believe that it happened at conversion.
Right.
Okay. And had we not been converted and had we not been crucified with Christ, we most certainly wouldn't have the fruit of the Spirit that we're just talking about.
Right. Amen.
Okay, this is what it looks like. Those crucified with Christ exhibit these fruit.
Amen. That's the whole point.
This is what it looks like.
Right. That's been the whole point in Galatians.
Yeah, I know. And I have some interesting, to me, and I hope to our listeners, citations about this, including Luther in a couple different instances and Thomas Schreiner. Have great things to say.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about the passive to active. Well, if you think about it, the New Testament describes conversion both ways.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
God converts lost sinners.
Right.
Okay? And regeneration is an act of God.
Yeah.
But yet, many times in the New Testament, you see the active idea.
Right, we believe.
Of repenting, of coming to Christ, of turning from sin. You see both things, and it's describing the same event from the perspective of God does it.
Yeah, amen.
But looking back at it, we did hear the gospel, we did believe, we did repent.
Right.
It was all because of God's work.
Right, well said.
So the flesh is crucified because of the work of God.
Yeah.
Passive.
Yeah.
But Christians have crucified the flesh, meaning come to Christ, the crucified one.
Yeah.
Where we die to the old life of self, sin, and the world.
Right.
And we have new life in Christ. And that's what Galatians has been all about.
Amen.
And so both ideas are valid, and both are ways to express the same reality, but it happens at conversion.
Right.
Now, that's not really, in our minds, the big controversy, because some people deny that it happens at conversion.
Yeah.
Roman Catholicism, which Luther was interacting with, and I have some quotes on that.
Right.
Said you had to work to achieve this mortification of the flesh before you could really be pleasing to God.
Right.
And then some people say mortification of the flesh is some higher order work that some Christians do because they know the secret.
Right, right, amen.
They make it a higher order special experience for some. They may say everybody ought to do this, but you've got to learn a secret to go mortify the flesh.
Right.
So they make it more present or future.
Right, amen. Yeah,
but
it's
here is past.
Yeah, you know, regarding the Catholic doctrine, this is really the big difference between Catholicism and what we understand as Protestants from the scriptures. Their understanding of righteousness is an infused one. One in which a person works up to.
Yeah, so you're working for. Well, should I quote Luther right
now? Yeah, would you please?
Okay, let's start out by quoting Luther in regard to the Catholic idea.
Right.
Okay, and some people would hold to this, I suppose, that aren't Catholic.
Right.
Luther, quote, "So, my brother, cling firmly to the order of God. According to it, the putting to death of the old man, wherein we follow the example of Christ, as Peter says, does not come first, as the devil urges, but comes last. No one can mortify the flesh, bear the cross, and follow the example of Christ before he's a Christian.
Right.
And has Christ through faith in his heart as an eternal treasure. You don't put the old nature to death as these prophets do through works, but through the hearing of the gospel."
Amen. That's exactly
so
right.
So Luther says the flesh is crucified through the hearing of the gospel.
Yes,
with faith.
Right. Joined to Christ.
Yeah. Not through work, 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 and you never really quite get there.
Yeah. And for the listener's sake, that's a big difference between Protestants and Catholics. Or think of just two words that begin with I, infused versus imputed.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholics believe in an infused righteousness, one that comes about through our efforts over time as we cooperate with grace. But what's being taught in the scriptures is an imputed righteousness, one that's forensic, meaning it's foreign to us, and it's given to us freely as a gift by God through faith.
Yeah,
and that's the
exactly.
Big distinction, yeah.
So it says here in our passage, Galatians 5:24, the ones who are of Christ have crucified the flesh. Aorist active indicative.
Yeah, yeah.
Then with its passions and desires. So the flesh doesn't rule over us.
Right, right. That's...
And we have some objective criterion that we've gone through about what the flesh looks like.
Right.
And what the work of the Spirit looks like.
Yeah, how exciting, too.
Yeah, and it's totally different.
Right, they are totally at start.
So if the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in your life, you have crucified the flesh. It isn't because you've learned a secret.
Right, right.
Okay, so one of our commentaries that we've used sometimes, as there's been some good ideas.
Yeah, he does a good job normally.
But he got this one wrong.
Yeah, Timothy George.
Because he took it as if it were the future tense.
Right, right.
And so the way you're going to mortify the flesh, according to him, was through prayer, fasting, self-denial.
Right. Yeah, you know,
it's almost Catholic.
It is Catholic. And you know what's interesting is he makes too much of the, I think, the switch between the passive and the active voice. And here's what I mean. For the listener, think about this. There's really two views in this passage. Are you to continuously mortify the flesh, and therefore the idea is you are crucifying the flesh through your actions to Christ for the sake of his name, and therefore becoming more holy? Or is it what Paul intended here?
I have been crucified with Christ.
Past tense, yeah. And so for the former view, this idea that we're actively doing it daily, a better tense that could have been used would have been the present tense.
Yeah, it's a continual process.
Exactly, because that's the accent.
Or
on
a
it.
Subjunctive. You ought to crucify
right,
the flesh.
Right, right. A great, yes, a perfect point. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Or future.
Right.
Some people will.
Exactly.
But here's what it says: the ones who are of Christ have crucified.
Amen. That's right.
And so all you need to know is whether the person's a Christian. You don't line up all the Christians to see which ones join a monastery.
Right, right.
Or which ones practice what they now call spiritual formation.
Right,
this
right.
is true of all the Christians.
Amen.
And
amen.
So Luther Oh, really, I had some great commentaries. Shriner's one, but Luther just shines.
Yeah, wasn't that a beautiful comment?
Well, here's another one. This would be a rebuke to some people who think that we're justified by Christ and sanctified by Moses.
Oh, yes.
They're still around.
Right, right.
Which is shocking, but that's what some people believe.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Luther. Quote, "So they, on the other hand, do not do the works of the flesh, but they do what is good and turn away from what is evil." He's speaking about Christians.
Yeah.
"Why? Because they are Christ's."
Yeah.
"They belong to Christ, not to Moses, not to the law."
Right.
"But they are Christ's. They undoubtedly have crucified flesh, not by the law, which was inciting to flesh more, but through Christ."
Wow. Great.
Unquote. Martin Luther. Now,
that's beautiful.
You were just teaching on that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Bob, I wish I would have had that quote. That's perfect. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moses is not going to make us have crucified flesh.
Amen. That's exactly right. In fact, we learned in Romans 7 in one of our discussions that both the unregenerate and the regenerate, if they try to submit the flesh to the Mosaic law, it won't bring about results that are pleasing.
No, it incites sin.
Amen.
Here's another passage that would reinforce what we're seeing here.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as just the tense.
Right.
Okay, the aorist. Here it says Romans 6:6.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to go there too. That's a great passage.
"Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him."
Amen.
"In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin."
Amen.
And when did that happen?
At conversion.
You know, there isn't anything that God has provided for the Christian that some false teacher won't turn into a higher order experience for the more pious Christians.
Sure, sure. Exactly.
All the time there's this lust to consider myself better than all the other Christians.
That's right. Yep.
I've got some higher order experience. I have some insight that they don't have.
Right, right. Yep.
But this is not what Paul's saying.
Yeah, amen, Bob.
Our old self. Who? Christians.
Yes.
Are crucified with him. Paul said that, Galatians 2:20. Here he's saying it about us. Galatians 5:24, he said it about us.
Yeah.
Romans 6:6. Why don't we just accept what the Bible says?
Amen. You know, I like your cross-reference there to Romans 6:6, because that's in the context too where Paul talks about our being identified with Christ in baptism. And so the picture that we have in baptism is that we're with him in his death. We're dead to the old world, but we're alive in the resurrection to Amen. The promises to come and the kingdom to come. And so just as the Israelites, when they left Egypt, when the water, they're baptized, as in a sense, according to 1 Corinthians 10,
mm-hmm.
when they are baptized through the Red Sea, it covers over again. So there's no going back.
Yeah,
and
Paul
that's
actually
kind of the idea
uses
for us.
That. Yeah,
yes.
Paul used that analogy, 1 Corinthians 10.
Exactly right. So that's one of the things I think Paul is driving at here as well. In Galatians, is because we're identified with Christ, we have to live it out. There's no going back. We're on the way to the promised land. There's no going back to Egypt. We're to live in accordance with our position and an identity in Christ.
Yeah, and the evidence that we are is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
And the command of God is that we walk in the Spirit.
Wow. Yeah, in fact, Bob, why don't you explain, you've done a lot of research in this idea of walking, and I know there's two terms, peripateo,
mm-hmm.
Which is the idea of walking around or living it out, but here we have this idea of stoikeo.
Yeah, and I want to get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's
but
in
I have
next
some more
verse.
Quotes here.
I'm sorry.
But on this idea of being crucified with Christ,
yeah.
or mortifying the flesh, as it says in the King James.
Right.
I want to quote Thomas Schreiner.
Oh,
His commentary is really my favorite.
You're right.
I tell you the whole truth about this. Sure. I love Schreiner.
Yeah.
But, you know, Luther's right up there.
Right, right. It's neck and neck.
Okay. Schreiner says this: it is surprising that Paul uses an active verb that emphasizes that believers themselves have crucified the flesh, says Schreiner. When did they slay the flesh with its desires? Given the context of all of Galatians, Paul is scarcely suggesting that the Galatians crucified the flesh autonomously. Such a notion flies in the face of the whole letter. Those who are in Adam and in the flesh do not have resources to crucify it.
Wow. Wow.
All right, if you're in the flesh, now, end of quote for now.
Yeah.
If you're in the flesh, how are you going to crucify it?
You can't. You're not with Christ.
No, the flesh is ruling over you.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right, and that's why they can't do anything pleasing to God.
And that's what Luther was saying to Rome.
Right.
You can't just mortify the flesh first.
Right. And then be good enough for Christ.
Until you're finally good enough for Christ.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Now let me continue and quote some more Schreiner.
Yeah.
Says Schreiner, surely the verb crucified functions as the clue for interpreting this verse. It points the reader back to Galatians 2:20, where believers are said to be crucified with Christ. The crucifixion of the flesh then occurred at conversion when believers died with Christ.
Wow.
He says, perhaps the active form of the verb crucified is used to indicate that believers have chosen to be aligned with Christ at conversion, that they said no to their life in Adam and in the flesh when they put their faith in Christ. So it's just another way of describing conversion.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you see throughout the New Testament, both the passive sense and the active.
Yeah.
You see it throughout. But it's the same conversion, and God's always the cause of it.
Exactly. That's right.
We're not the cause of our own crucifixion with Christ.
Right, right.
It happens when we have faith in Christ. And in Romans 6:6 is saying the same thing, which we just saw.
Yeah, this is really
important.
If I would
have just heard this, maybe I did and I didn't pay attention. When I was in Bible college as a new Christian, I was hearing and reading some of this deeper life or higher life material that some people had out there and believing it. How badly I wanted to mortify the flesh.
Right.
And I worked and worked at it.
Yeah.
And it just got worse.
Right. To this idea that this is something that we do ongoing daily in a battle. In other words, they interpreted verse 24 is not our position in Christ, and therefore we live it out, but rather something that we actively do in the present tense, not something that's happened in the past.
Well, I remember in those days, one of the passages that I was thinking about was where Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, rather than interpreting that in light of Galatians 2:20,
right,
I would see it now as meaning, if it doesn't simply mean suffering for the sake of Christ,
right,
because his life is always hanging in the balance,
right,
then that's a different topic, and that would be true.
Right.
But if it's about this, well, then that would be daily reminding ourselves that we are crucified with Christ.
Amen, exactly right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right, right.
And if I don't see the fruit in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and these things that we studied.
That's right.
And that we discussed on our broadcast here, then I need very much either to take note, have I really been converted, or, as most of us really have believed the gospel, we need to go back to the reality that we're crucified with Christ.
That's right. And turn from sin. That's right.
And turn away from sin and unbelief and whatever's the issue.
That's right.
The works of the flesh.
Yep.
And walk in the Spirit.
Amen. So the best way not to be confused about this passage and how to handle it is realize that we can't divorce our daily actions from our reality that we have once and for all in Christ back in Galatians 2:20.
Exactly. And so then we need to walk in the Spirit, which we looked at earlier.
Yes, yeah.
There's an imperative, walk in the Spirit. It's a command from God.
Right.
Okay. Now, again, I think Luther helps us.
Yeah.
And I had done some research from my material. I have the complete works of Luther, and that's where I find these things.
Yeah.
I just do word searches, and I'm always reading Luther.
Right.
And he always said, the Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
Okay, wow. So I have a quote from that. Luther, quote, "For the Holy Spirit does not come without the Word, but he comes through his lyre, that is, he wants to come through meditation on the Word." Lyre there is the musical instrument.
Sure.
Which he's using as an analogy to the Word.
Sure.
"Through meditation on the Word or through the spoken words of the father or the mother or others." In other words, in a family, if
right.
you want the Holy Spirit at work, teach the words of God.
Right, right.
He said, otherwise the devil comes.
Mm. Okay. Wow.
But as David, Isaiah, and all scripture bears witness, the Holy Spirit comes with the Word and through the Word. And according to the statement, blessed is he who meditates on the law of God day and night.
Wow, amen.
So many times, and I've found other sayings of Luther like that.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word. Yeah. So let's just put this all in perspective.
Yeah.
Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires.
Right, right.
And if you, dear listener, are struggling and honestly just wondering,
yeah,
if I'm crucified with Christ, and if I have crucified the flesh, why am I like this?
Right.
I don't know that there's any of us who haven't asked that question at some point.
Right, that's right.
Okay. I agree with Luther.
Yeah.
God uses means. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in the Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit bears fruit, which we've now described as the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians.
Amen.
And we should be sitting under the teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
We should be, as Luther says, meditating on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it will have its effect.
Amen. That's right.
That's something we can do day by day.
That's right.
Be in the Word. And then the effects of having been crucified with Christ
yeah.
will become more and more evident in our life. Don't
yeah.
go off to some higher order experience or
right.
Latter-day Apostles and Prophets or all these things that are out there.
Right. Amen. That's so well said. Yeah, we have to submit ourselves to the means of grace where God can work on us. And you know, there's the man who cried out in the book of Mark, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief."
Yeah.
And that's really the cry of all true believers at points in their lives. You know, I remember, Bob, years ago, there was a man that used to come up to me almost weekly for a while and in despair, just always ruining the fact that he thought he wasn't good enough and he wasn't living up to his obligations in the new covenant and to be a believer in Christ, and he was always tormented. And the way I tried to comfort him was to say, look, with the unregenerate, they're not concerned about these things. It's a good thing when people say, you know what, I haven't lived up to this, and I'm concerned with it, and I want to turn from sin,
amen.
And I want to live according to the Spirit. That's actually a very healthy thing. The unregenerate aren't concerned about it. An analogy I've often made is, think about going on the road towards the promised land. The unregenerate fall in the mud puddle and they never get out. In fact, they like the mud puddle and they want to
like
stay in it.
They're like a pig, and that's where you cool down on a hot summer day.
Yeah, exactly.
You
in fact,
jump
Peter
in the
uses
mud
that.
Puddle.
Peter uses that very thing. They're like
yeah,
a hog going back to the slop, and but yet the believer, it bothers them, or you know, him or her, and they won't be able to tolerate it for long.
Well, because we have crucified the flesh.
Amen.
What does it say here? And I'm looking at the Greek here.
Yeah.
The passions, pathema,
yeah.
and desires, epithumia, which is lust. So the lusts of the flesh, the passions, and so on,
wow.
they're not just resisted, They're put to death.
Yes.
But it happened at conversion.
That's right.
And it's for us to live it out through faith in the Word and through the means of grace that God has provided.
That's right.
Amen. I know I found some good answers to this, and you know, people get some bad teaching.
Yeah.
Let me just talk about this. I preached on it Sunday.
Right.
A lot of the articles I've written over the years
are
dealing with false ideas that come into the church from the realm of psychology or mystical practices.
Right.
And the assumption is that the key to whatever is going on in the present is something in our past.
Hmm.
It may have been how we were parented.
Right.
Maybe there's a generational curse.
Right.
Maybe I said or did something that put a curse on my own life, and I have to discover what it was and get it dealt with. Theophostic says there's a first memory event that has to be identified.
Right.
And then we need to get a personal revelation from Christ about a new interpretation of this event that probably never happened.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so many people are misled by that.
So if you just look at all of these things, this event, conversion, means the flesh, the whole person, not just part of us, the whole person died to all of that.
That's right.
And now we live for Christ.
Amen.
Every theory that says that the key to our well-being now is dependent on something in our own past can be judged to be false right here and right now.
Right, that's right.
Okay, that's not what Paul's talking about.
Right.
If you're not walking in the Spirit, it's not because of something your mama said to you.
Amen. You know, Bob, it's funny you say that. I was thinking, you know, the only thing that matters in our past is that we were crucified with Christ.
Exactly, and that's what it says here.
Wow.
We've been crucified. We have crucified by believing in Christ. Romans 6:6, the old self was crucified.
Right.
And somebody's going to say, well, I'm not happy. I don't have joy. I'm a lousy Christian. I can't ever get a job.
Yeah.
I can't get along with my family.
Right.
I've been through various relationships that hit the rocks.
Right.
Well, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to fix all of that? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires.
Yeah.
If you have believed on Jesus Christ, trusted him and him alone for the forgiveness of sins, for salvation, then God's command is to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Not analyze all this stuff.
Right.
It's just bondage.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a return right back to Egypt.
I know, and in Philippians 3, Paul counted it all as rubbish.
Right.
Just, 1 Corinthians 10.
Yeah.
The old man's buried.
That's right.
You're baptized.
Amen.
Buried the old person. We have a new life. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have problems, but we go from here. We go forward.
Right. Amen.
It's not where we've been.
Right.
It's where we're going.
Amen. That's what's so exciting.
And how? By grace. With whom? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
With whom else? Christ alone.
That's right.
We do have his children
who
are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And we go forward. And the Word of God is what sanctifies us, not some person who comes up with a new theory.
Right.
If we were to believe what's said right here, Galatians 5:24, most of these Christian writers and publishing houses would go out of business.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
They wouldn't have anything to sell.
Yeah, there'd be no secret to push, no past memories to delve into. There'd be no engineering problem to solve.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Bob, one thing I'll just leave on is, you know, I've often thought about, because Paul makes it an analogy with the Israelites coming out of Egypt, there's a very parallel condition that the Israelites were in to Christians today. They're baptized through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness of life going to the Promised Land. And that's where we are after conversion. After conversion, we've been baptized. The image is that we're with Christ. We're united with the people of God. we're on the way to the promised land, and this idea of walking out one's faith, think about how the Israelites literally walked in the wilderness. And the idea would be they were either going to believe and persevere and keep walking into the promised land,
amen,
or through disbelief, they would fall in the wilderness. And that's really the battle that we have. It's a battle to believe. And what Paul is really fighting for these Galatians, is they would believe,
yeah,
in this very reality that you've just been describing for us.
Believe the promises of God.
Amen.
Don't go back. Go forward with your eyes on the promises of God.
Amen.
Feeding on the manna from heaven.
Right. Well said. Amen. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a real pleasure discussing these things with you, and I'm really grateful for the sermons that you gave. And we want to remind everyone out there that they can stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.